Yaakov Avinu was the first one to be mispalt Hashem, to be given some kind of an advance warning before passing away. For what purpose? Because it's a tremendous benefit. So he has a chance to arrange his house, to get his affairs in order, as we say. And so that he has the opportunity to make a tzava for his kids. What tzava? That this guy gets $3,000, and this guy gets the bakery, and this guy gets the bathroom, and this guy gets the towels? That's not the ikar tzava. The ikar tzava is to be mitzava them to go in the derech Hashem, to tell them what you. Why did I bring you into this world? What are you here for? And how am I going to continue to live in this world? Only if you're religious. Only if you'll do Shema Torah mitzvahs. The ikar hatzavohu shetzrichim letzavoisom shishmru derech Hashem. The main tzavoh, the main will that a parent declares upon the, you know, when they're about to pass away, is their will that their children should be religious. That's the ikar rotzon. Kidei sheyishoyer daitoy gamar achar histalkusoy loylam. So that the parent's das should remain forever, even after the parent passes away, so that their das should remain in this world. V'yalkein hischil zois miyakov. This is why the Gemara says that this began with Yaakov Avinu. Ki hu harishoin sheheniach bonim kulam tzadikim. He was the first one to be matzliach, that all of his kids were religious. All of his kids were tzadikim. She'al yodom nishar daitoy ba'olam lo'olam. Whereby through his kids, his das remained in the world permanently. Loilam, permanently. Vialk, eternally. Vialkein bo'ez shehoyo Yaakov choyle v'tzivo esbonav somach l'mitzosoy. And that's why we find in the Torah that bedavka when Yaakov Avinu became ill and he was instructing his kids that he was about to close to his death, oz tzoaku kulam shma Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. Remember the story in the Torah? That Yaakov Avinu wanted to reveal to them the time of the coming of Moshiach, and then the Shekhinah left him. And then suddenly Yaakov Avinu said to them, hey, could it be because you boys are not religious? Could it be because you don't believe in Hashem? They said, Chas v'shalom, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. They declared their faith in Hashem. Why bedavki did that whole incident happen right over there? Kamoi Shom Razal, as the Gemara says, Ki oz, because bedavka at that time, when a tzaddik is sick and he's about to pass away, oz hu ikar heoras hadas shemashir achro. That's the main time when he has an opportunity to give over the main blast of das to his family or to his talmidim, which is going to remain behind after he leaves. The kanal, as we explained earlier, ukemoikein. This applies to every single person on their level. Every single person is able to fulfill this on their level. Every single yid has a responsibility to shine a certain level of das tikdusha into their children and students, that it should remain forever. The canal, as we learned earlier, v'yalkein ikra hamatono sheki yerusha himatnas shchiv meira. This is why the Torah makes a distinction between a gift that I give you during my lifetime, normally, versus the gift that I decide to give you when I'm on my, when a person's on their deathbed. Different halachas. Ki oz ikra hashora sadas. That's the moment when the person has the greatest opportunity to leave over the ikar das, as we saw by those tzaddikim, that their biggest punch was bedafka when they were on their deathbed. That's when they gave the greatest zets of das to their talmidim or to their children. That's when Yaakov Avinu revealed the bracha. You see, he wanted to reveal the coming of Moshiach at that time. And instead he gave them each of those brachas, where if you look in the Rashis and Chumash, on those brachas, each pasuk has 30 pages of Rashi-like on it, because there's so much information that he packed into those brachas. Each word that he said there was Ruach HaKodesh, and it was telling them what was going to happen to them in the future and everything, because that was his most outstanding shear of his life to his children. That's when he gave them the Ikra Shor Sadas. Shemishom Nimshach HaMomoin. And we learned earlier that the Momoin comes from the Das. Shemachmazeh magia hayirushalabonov. That was the logic as to why inheritance goes to the kids. Therefore, the person also has the ability to transfer possessions to others in the form of matnas shchiv meira, because of this concept of transferring das to bonim v'talmidim. So you transfer also possessions, mamoin and parnasa, to bonim as yerusha, and to non-bonim as talmidim, in this form of talmidim, others whom you're shining your das into. Which means, obviously, that when it comes to yerusha, when it comes, or matna shchimra, if a person is about to pass away, where should they give their money? The answer is, should they give their money to the guy who said good morning to them, or to the guy who mowed their lawn, the wealthy millionaires who left her whole inheritance to her cat, or to the animal hospital, or to the... The answer is, the mamon goes with the das. That's where it goes. Person leaves the money to their children. If they're zeichet to have religious children that are going to be shomer Torah mitzvos, then by leaving the mamon with them, the money is going together with the das. Or chas v'shalom, a person doesn't have children, or a person wants to give some of their money elsewhere. Where do they give it? To the das. They give it to a yeshiva, to a mokim of Torah, things like that. Where the das goes, that's where the mamon goes. The two go together. Now Rav Nosson Zal concludes and says, this is why the Shulchan Aruch says, Divrei Shchiv Meira Kiksuvim Ukemesurim Domi, that the words of a Shchiv Meira are considered exactly as if it were written in a shtar, and if it was already given over to the person. Meaning, it's irreversible. Once, on the moment of death, it happens immediately. Ki matnas shchiv meira sheyesh lo kiyum, the fact that a gift that a shchiv meira says he's going to give has a value, has a permanence to it. Ze nimshach mebechinas hadas, it comes from the concept of das shetzrichen lohoyer biyoser somoch lamisosoy kishu shchiv meira kanal, which a person has an obligation to give it forth, especially at the time of passing away, right before passing away. Now that's when the obligation is strongest to give over this das. V'hadas hu ha-Torah, shehu ikra das, shal yodo yoidnes Hashem Yisborach. What's the main das in this world? The Torah is the main book of das in this world, through which we get to know about Hashem. V'zeh divrei shchiv meira, kiksuvim uchemesurim domi. This is why the Gemara uses this wording, that the words of a person who's about to pass away are like the written and the given over. Ksuvim umesurim ze bechinas ha-Torah ha-Kdoisha. This terminology, it's as if it's written and handed over. That's a term that's used about the Torah. Shehi ksuva umesura biodeinu. The Torah was written down. It says in the Chumash, v'uchsavtem lochem es hashira zois, uchsavtem al mezuzois beisech v'shor. What do you do with the Torah? You write it down. And the Torah is Mesurim Domi. If you look in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, in what form? It was written down, V'chosafti al aluchos, U'mesoro liYehoshua. And he handed it over to Yeshua. So these two verbs, writing and handing over, are the verbs that are used to describe Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. You understand? That's the summary of the Torah. So therefore, when we say that the words of a Shchiv Meira are written and handed over, it means that what does a Shchiv Meira do? He talks Torah. He talks Das. That's the time when he's giving over his Zikr Das to his family members or whoever it is. V'kol echot kefi chelkoi b'Torah, each and every person, to the extent that they were zeichet to have a portion in the Torah, kein tzorich lahashi chelek daitoi v'Torosoi lebonim v'talmidim. To that extent, they have a responsibility to leave over their das and their Torah to their children and to their students. Sheyiskayim loylam, so that it should remain in this world forever. They should pass it on to their children and so on and so forth. Umishom nimshach matna shchiv meira sheyesh lo kiyum ki yerusha v'kanal. That's why we have this concept of matnas shchiv meira, which has a status of Yerusha. Just like the Torah is called Yerusha in a sense. Torah tziv alanu Moshe, Moirosho kilas Yaakov. This is our main inheritance, the Torah. So the words of a shchiv meira are this bechina of Yerusha. This is why the Shulchan Aruch says that the words of a Shchiv Meirah are considered exactly as if they were written down and handed over, meaning that when a person is about to pass away like that, what are his main words? His main words are Torah. That's his main words. His main words are the Burim of Das. What goes together with the Das? Momoin and Parnosa go together with the Das. So therefore, just like he has the ability to transmit his Das to family members and non-family members, so too he has the ability to transmit his possessions, his finances and everything, to his Bonin and to his Talmidim. Baruch Hashem. Why? Because his words are the written word. His words are the Torah. You understand?
It's the opposite in the secular world, right?
They don't hold it. Exactly. If it isn't written down, it's nothing.
Just the opposite.
Rabbeinu was all his last moments in this world.
Oh. The answer is, if you look at Rabbeinu's, if you look at any tzaddik, his last shir, is the most spectacular. Rabbi Nizal, the last shir that he gave to his Talmidim was Rosh Hashanah, the last public shir, where he gave the Torah on Likud Imran, Tiku Toichocho. It's one of the largest chapters in Likud Imran, and one of the most all-encompassing. And Rabbi Nizal writes that in many ways it was a tzavor to his Talmidim. That's where he stresses, he speaks about looking for the tzaddik, and he speaks about the kibbutz hakodesh, how each time a person gets added to the kibbutz, it multiplies the batim in many ways. Plus the last night, how Rav Nosson Zal describes what went on with him the last night, that on one hand he was petrified to ask Rabbeinu Zal any questions because he didn't want to accept that Rabbeinu Zal was going to die. He didn't want to let the thought enter into his mind that Rabbeinu Zal was going to die so that it shouldn't chas v'shalom speed up the death. Because machshava has a tremendous power. When you think something, many times that could affect its happening. So on one hand, Rav Nosson Zal said he held himself back tremendously from asking the thousands of questions that he felt he should have asked and everything. But yet he said that Rabbeinu Zal stared at him then for hours. And he said in Rabbeinu Zal's staring at him, he felt that Rabbeinu Zal was talking to him with his eyes, and he was telling him, he was warning him about all the difficulties he was going to have in his life and everything, and he was shining into him a feeling of security and a feeling sure of himself that he would make it through everything and that he would be matzliach in the end, etc. If you read about Rabbeinu Zal's passing, you see that those last moments, those last days and moments were super, super critical.
And his last words were, "What are you afraid of?" Right? That when I thought
exactly died. That I go before you, etc., right. etc. Any questions? Baruch Hashem.
And when a person writes a sefer, is that considered also like
leaving the das? For sure, kiksuvim uchemesurim devrei shchiv meirah. That's part of a person leaving his das behind in the world. One format is putting it into writing, which people will read, and they will become his bonim v'talmidim. Those are his bonim and talmidim, those that learn his sefer, 100%.
I heard that there's a halakha that if a person is confronted with the choice of feeding their own children versus feeding other people's children,
charity begins at home,
children.
For sure.
And so, and the idea is for us, tzedakah and everything.
For sure.
And so, I just wonder if there's any, a nice implication of that.
100%.
A person should, stay with that son of his, and try to teach him the Torah, even if he's not, as promising the student is.
Meyachuz. The obligation to teach Torah, charity begins at home, and teaching Torah begins at home, no question. That's the yisoy, that's a foundation. If a person has a house, then they can build, they can go out to reach out to others outside their home. If their own home is not bishleimus, then it's very hard, or chas v'shalom, sometimes impossible, to be able to be effective in helping others. This concept of teaching Torah, v'shinantam levonecha, it's in Kriya Shema, that your first obligation is to teach your own sons. That's your closest, that's assumed to be, in many cases, your closest students. And that should be the choicest. However, we see in many cases that because of the fact that when Ben and Talmud mix, that's the ultimate combination, could be that's why the Yetzer Hara works hardest on the children of tzaddikim, or the, like Moshe Rabbeinu's kids, or the children of Talmidei Chachamim, bedafka to make their test harder in a sense, because the Yetzer Hara knows that if the Ben and the Talmud are nichlal in one, kaboom, you know, it's 50 times more powerful than if the student is not the Ben, or the Ben is not the student, you understand? So could be that's why bedafka there, it's like the hardest test in some cases. Baruch Hashem.